we're going to be continuing our series this morning on life in the kingdom. At least for through October, we're going to continue to use this cup over here. Now you notice we've got two cups. Hopefully I don't spill anything this morning. So we'll get to what these are here in just a little bit. Life in the kingdom, this series is on what life looks like now that we are citizens of the kingdom. The blessings that we're looking at this morning, that we've been looking at for the last 3 weeks, have to do with becoming a citizen of the kingdom and being a citizen of the kingdom. So they communicate to us what it means to become somebody who knows that they are in the kingdom of heaven. That they know that, Jesus is their Savior and Lord, and that He's with them now in spirit, and they'll be with Him. If He doesn't return, they'll be with Him when they're absent from the body. And so it's about that. It's also about, for those of us who know where we stand with Jesus, we know that He's our Lord, we know that He's our Savior. It's a reminder of what life should look like for us. Our citizenship, first and foremost, is the kingdom of heaven, and not America, not Texas, or whatever state you may be from, or a citizen of Sweetwater, or whatever city you're from. That's not our primary citizenship. And we are those things. We should be faithful citizens and be good citizens of wherever we live. But our main identity, the thing that we are to root ourselves in more than anything else, deeper than our patriotism, is that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And so this morning, we're going to get into what that looks like lived out. The last few Sundays, we've talked about what it means on the inside. What it means, what we have to do inside of us. What we think, what we feel. And this morning, we take all of the inside and we begin to see what it begins to look like in our interaction with people and how we deal with ourselves, how we look at ourselves, and how we look at the problems that we face in the world. And so those are the three things we're going to be looking at this morning. How we see people, how we see ourselves, and how we see problems. And so, if you're not there already, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. The verses we're going to be focusing on this morning are verses 7 through 9, but we're going to read verses 1 through 9. So I'm going to reread what we've gone over already. So if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Seeing the crowds, He, now this is Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." You may be seated. And as you're being seated, if you would bow with me. Lord Jesus, this morning we ask that You would help us to hear Your truth, that we would be impacted by it, that we would honestly see ourselves the way we really are, that we would be honest with ourselves and honest before You. I ask that You would help us to measure our lives and see, first, am I actually a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And second, am I living like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? I ask that You would fill me with Your Spirit this morning, that I would only speak by Your power and I would only speak Your truth. I ask this all in Your name, Lord Jesus. We love You. Amen. So I want to review a little bit. What we're talking about this morning is a new way to see the world. We talked about being poor in spirit. We've talked about being meek. We've talked about those who mourn, and we've talked about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So I want to recap real quick using the prop that I've used the last three Sundays. So we've talked about, at least the first week, that poor in spirit, go ahead and throw up the next slide. Poor in spirit is about emptying ourselves before God. It's realizing that this red stuff right here is what we are all born being full of. We're all born with this red liquid. We want to do what we want to do. We want to live life to what feels best for me, what works for me. I want to do what's right in my own eyes. I want to follow my heart and be true to myself. That's what we are born doing. And culture just reinforces this because these are the messages you hear in movies and songs, TV shows. Culture just reinforces what we are all naturally full of, and that's ourselves. And so when we realize that, this passage says that the only people who get the kingdom of heaven are people who realize that and then empty themselves. That's what poor in spirit is. It's emptying ourselves. And then the next one, being meek, is realizing what we were full of before God and living that way. Realizing that, look, I'm a messed up person in need of a Savior. So we're not going to look down our nose at anybody else around us. We're not going to look at other people who are full of themselves and criticize them and talk about, like, oh my gosh, look what they're doing, as if we're better than them. Because a meek person realizes that we're in the same boat. We need a Savior. And then we begin to mourn over what we're full of. But this is all related to each other. When we see what we're full of, and because of that, God, we deserve wrath. Wrath and hell in the Bible are not there to scare people into heaven. They're there because that's what we've rightfully earned. When you were created to be a vessel that's full of God, but you've rejected Him and filled yourself with self, you're not a friend of God, you're an enemy of God. Just like if, and this is an analogy I used, and I want to really push this because this is unpopular in our culture. If you as an American citizen filled yourself with support for ISIS, the Islamic State, or ISIL, whatever, however you pronounce that, the acronym, you would be an enemy of the U.S. because that is one of the U.S.'s enemies right now, is the Islamic State. So if you filled yourself full of support for that, you'd be an enemy of the state. Well, because that's not what you were born to be. You were born in the U.S. or you were naturalized as a U.S. citizen. You're supposed to be a supporter of the U.S., of your home. We were created to be vessels that were supportive of God, to be full of God. And instead, we decided to be full of self. And we sided with God's enemy, Satan. And because of that, we deserve the wrath of God. And so we mourn over that. We were broken over that. And so we want to just get this out of us. All this stuff that we were full of. And then we begin to hunger and thirst to be right before God, to be filled with His Spirit. And this is what we've talked about for 3 weeks, is being full of that. And once that starts to happen, we begin to see everything differently. We begin to look different, we begin to think different, we begin to act different. So the first thing that we're going to look at in verse 7 here is looking a new way to look at people. We begin to look at people around us differently. And that's what merciful is here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, mercy is a very small word that carries a lot of ideas with it. It's having pity on someone, not just because of who they are, but their situation, their circumstance. You begin to try to understand where they are in their circumstance and their situation before God, and you begin to feel sorry for them. Now, people, most Americans would say, well, I don't want anybody to have pity on me. That's because we're full of self and we're prideful. That's why we say that. But the truth is, we ought to be pitied. If this is what we're full of, we ought to be pitied. Because this means that we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve to be pitied. Because we don't know any better. We're ignorant. We don't know what it means to be right with God. And so if we have emptied ourselves and we become full of God's Spirit, we begin to have pity on people like this. Even though they don't deserve it. Even if they wrong you. Mercy is also withholding personal justice that ought to be carried out. It's not about, you know, when people break the law, this mercy in the Bible is not saying you shouldn't report something illegal to the authorities, okay? We have law and government to keep us safe as citizens, to give us an organized society, to for the flourishing of culture. You need government, you need order, you need laws. That's not what mercy... I'm talking about personal justice. Mercy is saying they deserve me to pay them back and treat them exactly how they treated me, but I'm gonna absorb what the wrong that they've done against me, and I'm not gonna dish out what I've been given. That's mercy. So go ahead and throw up the next slide. This doesn't come naturally, which is the whole point of using these cups. This is why I picked this illustration. I poured the red liquid out. That was self. All the things that are listed here in the blesseds, the descriptions, the characteristics, require you being filled by God's Spirit. Because being merciful is not about being easygoing or being soft-hearted. Some people are wired that way. The kind of mercy that we're called to here requires us to empty ourselves, to see our right place before God, to see what He's done for us in Jesus, and to be filled by His Spirit. And that's why it's not saying if we will do that, then we'll receive mercy. That's not what He means by blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Another way of saying the idea he's saying there, we don't earn mercy. Mercy is a free gift of God. Scripture clearly teaches that. What He means there, it's phrased a little funny, but what He's saying is those who have been shown mercy in Christ, which we all have, if you have realized that you're full of self and you deserve the wrath of God, and you've poured yourself out, and you said, God, save me, forgive me, I want to accept Jesus, I want Jesus to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to save me from myself, and that's what you've done, you have received mercy. You deserve damnation and hell, but you have received forgiveness and eternal life. You're a recipient of mercy. Recipients of mercy act merciful. Ought to act merciful. We're going to display that. Now, not all the time. That's why it had to be written down. That's why these things are written down, is because they don't come natural. We need to be reminded of them. But if we remember, if we keep in our minds that we are recipients of mercy, it causes us to act merciful. So that's what we're doing. When we empty ourselves and we remind ourselves that, look, I'm a recipient of mercy. I deserve wrath. I deserve judgment. Jesus took it for me. He's forgiven me. It changes how we see ourselves and how we see others. Because, let me just put it to you this way. Showing other people mercy always comes at a personal cost. I don't know if you've thought about this way before. But if somebody's done you wrong, or done something that maybe they've treated you in a way, they've treated you disrespectfully, or they've backstabbed you, or they've let you down, or they've betrayed you, fill in the blank of what they've done. When a person's done that, for you to show mercy is for you to absorb the cost and not give them what they deserve. You're not going to pay them back. You are absorbing the cost. What you need to remember as a Christian, the only way you can do that is being filled by His Spirit, and the only way you can be filled by His Spirit is by being reminded of the fact that, look, the cost is going to be great. It is not fun to absorb the cost. It's a legitimate, it's a real cost. Okay? Let's just be honest. It's a hard thing to be merciful. But what you and I need to remember is whatever the cost was for me or for you to absorb, to be merciful to somebody, is always nothing compared to what the cost Jesus absorbed for you. Amen. When you look at it in that light, it frees you to be able to show mercy to somebody who doesn't deserve it, because you remember you deserve far worse than anything you pay anybody else back for. You deserve far worse. But God showed you mercy in His Son. Now, what we have to do, go ahead and throw up the next slide. What we have to do is We need to look at the evidence and say, am I being filled with God's Spirit, or am I still full of self? Am I acting mercifully because I'm remembering what God has done for me? I'm living in light of that. I've emptied myself before God, or not? And so here are some evidences that we're still full of self rather than being full of God's Spirit. Not letting go of being wronged. So if somebody's done something against you and you just cannot let go of it, you obsess over it. Every time you see your face, it comes up in your mind and you just cannot let go of it. You're not going to be able to let go of it until you empty and say, look, my life is no longer about me. It's about Jesus. As long as your life is about you, you're not going to be able to let go of what was done against you. You just won't. Because you'll always be reminded of what they did to you. And the truth is, your life's not about you. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, if He's your Lord, your life is no longer about you. It's about Him. Amen. And so the only way you're going to be able to let go of somebody wronging you is to realize, I'm doing this because I'm really making my life all about me. Holding mistakes over people's heads is a sign that you're still full of self. And we can try to justify all these things in our head, but at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. We can say, I'm just trying to hold them accountable, I'm just trying to get them to do the right thing, but holding somebody's mistakes over their heads is not what Jesus does for you. It's not what He did at the cross. He gave you a clean slate. He gave you a new beginning. He gave you a new life. We ought to be able to do the same for others in forgiving them. Seeking to get even if it's only in small ways. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we don't just want to go tit for tat. Now, sometimes we do, okay? And that's hard enough to deal with. But I think I think sometimes there are these small ways we try to get back at somebody, and we say, well, you know, I'm not giving them as bad as they've given me. But we slight them in ways. And maybe the ways we treat them, maybe the attitude we give them, maybe in just the way that we refer to them to other people, we have these small little ways to slowly pay them back. And the truth is, if we're doing that, we're full of ourselves. We're not full of God's Spirit. And we need to repent, empty ourselves, and remember what God's done for us and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit so that we can let it go. Refusing to serve or show kindness towards somebody who's hurt you is a sign that you're still full of self. Look, the reason we have drama and the reason we have fights and the reason we have so much of a hard time getting along with people is not because we are trying to do the right thing and that they would just do X, Y, and Z, everything would be perfect. It takes two people for there to be drama and fights. Always takes two people. The only way we as Christians can move past that is by God's Spirit in repenting. And the reason we have drama, especially if you have reoccurring drama with somebody, you're making the situation about yourself. It always comes back to that. You're making it about yourself. And as Christians, we are called to live our life for Christ, not for me. So my question to you this morning, are you seeing people differently? Look, it's not just about realizing what God has done for you. It's realizing about what they need, too. That's where the pity comes in that I talked about earlier. It's not just being moved by what God has done for you. It's looking at them and realizing they're going to get exactly what they deserve from God, and that's a scary thing. They're to be pitied. They may not want it. You're supposed to give it, though, because God gave it to you. In Christ. He pitied us. He loved us enough. He pitied our situation, our wretched state. He was willing to become one of us and die for us so that we would have life instead of eternal death. And if it's a Christian you're dealing with, it may be that they're not living by God's Spirit and they're filling themselves back up with the very thing that doesn't satisfy but kills. We ought to pity that person. We ought to try to move them be right with God, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. So that's the first thing I want to ask you this morning. Are you seeing people differently? Are you living by the Spirit? Are you living life in the kingdom, or are you living it for self? Second, we see ourselves differently. And that's what this passage is mainly about here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart here is someone who desires to make God look good with their lives. They realize, my life's not about me, it's about Him. And so I want more of Him to be displayed in me. I want people to see more of Him in my life when they see me. So that He gets all the credit, so that people are pointed to Him, so that He looks good, and I can just enjoy Him for who He is. Purity in heart is doing that single-mindedly. It's not being divided in mind. You can't say, well, I want to live for God, but I want to do this on the side. It doesn't work that way. It's an all-or-nothing thing, purity of heart. Go ahead and throw up the next slide. These characteristics, being pure in heart, is a result of everything that I recapped. Emptying ourselves, being meek, mourning over our own sinfulness, thirsting and hungering for God, being merciful to others. Those things require you to be single-minded. Just realize, my life's about God. These all build on each other. They're all you can't pick and choose which blessings you want to do. All of these are required of the Christian. All of these. And being pure in heart requires 1 through 7 and 9 through 12. Again, this doesn't come naturally. This is a supernatural thing. Because being single-minded requires discipline. Our tendency in the morning when we wake up is to fall back into this default. Where we want to just do what we want to do. We want to live how we want to live. And this is why some of us are not morning people. We get real cranky with people. It's because our default setting is, leave me alone, I want to go back to sleep. Right? That's selfish. But we some of us do this, especially if we've been up all night with a baby. We do this. Go away. You know, that's what we think in the morning. Then others of us, we are morning people, and we are annoyed with people who are not morning people. Or vice versa. You know, just fill in the blank there. Our natural tendency in the morning is to, by default, do what we want to do, what comes natural to us. Living life in the kingdom is doing what is supernatural. And that requires God to work in us and through us. So we daily have to make a habit of emptying ourselves before God, being single-minded. This day is about you, Jesus. Live in me. Live through me. Make yourself look good through me while I enjoy you for who you are. And what you're doing in my life and what you're doing in others. And that's what he means by seeing God. By doing this, we begin to partially see God now. And one day we have the hope we'll see him in full. Here's what I mean by partially seeing him now. When you begin to be single-minded like that, you wake up, you say, God, this day is about you. I want to make you look good in my life. When you go to work, you begin to see God at work. God moving people in places where you can tell them about Jesus. You see things happen around you, and you see an opportunity to tell this person over here who's full of self, man, this is going to kill you. You need to be full of God. You need life in the kingdom. Right now, you don't have it. And I'm concerned about you. You see God at work doing that, giving you opportunity to work through you and in you so that other people come to know to have life in the kingdom. You begin to see God at work in nature and in politics and in culture. And despite all the bad things going on, you still see God today. And the way you see more of Him is by emptying yourself of self and being full of His Spirit and saying, and being single-minded, being pure in heart and saying, this is, my life is yours. It's not mine. It's yours. So here's some questions that you need to ask to see, am I pure in heart? This is some self-examination that we need to ask ourselves. What do I value most out of life? These are deep questions. Jot them down if there's stuff that you've never thought about before. You need to ask these questions. Because at the heart of each one of these questions, if it doesn't come back to Jesus, it's evidence that you're just trying to tack Jesus on to a life full of self. And you're not being filled with God's Spirit. That you're divided in your mind. You're trying to live for God and live for you, and you can't do both. You're either full of self or you're full of God. There's no in between. What do I treasure most above all? Is it God? Is He what I desire most out of life? What is my motivation in life? What causes you to get up in the morning and go about your day and get you through your week? Is it that I'm living my life for Jesus so that He'll look good in everything I do? Is my life about Him? Or is it about finding satisfaction and joy in something else because I'm living it for me? And finally, why am I here? Why am I here? This is one of those questions you need to be prepared to answer. Because there are moments, I believe, in everyone's life where they ask this. God has given us a greater purpose than just finding joy and satisfaction in life. Because the truth is, if why I am here is so that I can be comfortable, so that I can be satisfied, so that I can have joy with family, with friends, at some point those things will fail. And we'll have moments where it's just pain, where it's just turmoil. And that won't be enough to get us through. This will. By God's Spirit, He can. Because we see if we lose everything, if everything that we've lived for is gone, but we still have Jesus, we still have everything we need to be satisfied. We still have a greater purpose for our life. Are you single-minded? What are you living for? Are you pure in heart? That's the only way you're going to see God, both partially now and fully in the future. This is a life you've been called to live. Finally, we also see problems differently in the world. Conflict. We see all that differently. Because, the passage here says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Again, peacemakers are not earning the right to be called sons of God. Sons of God are peacemakers. You may not be a good one, but you ought to be working in this area. This ought to be something that is part of who you are, even if it's not perfect. A peacemaker here is not somebody who just likes to smooth things over where they're back the way they were. We all want to do that. Okay, we can all say, well, I just wish I could make things like they were. That's really not resolving anything. That's ignoring the problem. A peacemaker here, a biblical peacemaker, sees the root of a conflict. It sees to the very core of what the conflict is really all about, and it addresses it at its deepest level. A peacemaker seeks to reconcile people to people, to make things right between people, and to see people make things right between them and God. Because the root of all conflict in the world is this, right here, being full of self. And only you see that. Everyone else is just doing what they know to do. They don't know any better. This is just how they've always lived. They expect everybody else to live the same way. But we live differently. Because we are filled of God's Spirit when we emptied ourselves, when we pour ourselves out before God, and we're filled with His Spirit, we see everything differently. We see that the reason why you fight with everybody, and it just doesn't seem like you ever have peace, is because you're full of self. And before you can get right with other people, you need to get right with God. You need to make peace with God, but because of being full of self, you deserve God's wrath. You and God are not good. And at the deepest level, you feel this, and it displays itself in the conflict you are constantly having in your life. And so peacemakers see that, and we will share people the message of Jesus so that they will be made right with God, so that they will pour themselves out, so that they will have peace with God and be able to begin to make peace with other people. This is what it means to be a peacemaker. And it's not optional. God made peace with us by making the greatest sacrifice, putting on human flesh and shedding His own blood, giving His own life so that He could make peace with you and I, so that the wrath of God would be satisfied and we would not know God's wrath, we would only know God's love. That's the message of the cross that you and I have. You and I will never have to sacrifice more than Jesus did to bring peace to other people. It may be a little embarrassing to bring Jesus up in certain situations. But seriously, we're not having, I mean, so people don't think we're one of those weirdos. Are we being put on a cross? No. Jesus always has paid the greatest price. And it's not just about the physical suffering that he had, but he was separated from the Father in that moment. I won't get into all the depth of that, but he sacrificed much more than you and I could ever, so that we could have peace with him. And when we get that, we want others to have the same thing. And once we begin to be about that, it begins to minimize the drama. Now, there's a different kind of drama that we receive. We'll talk about that next week. That's where the next verses come in. There's a different kind of drama that this person has that this person doesn't. The reason why we still have conflict like other people do, and we can talk about family drama, relationship drama with somebody who's not a believer and they can relate, is because we tend to be full of self and not full of God's Spirit. We live by our own strength, our own power, doing what we want to do in our own eyes instead of being filled by God's Spirit. This morning, I want you to leave this place being a peacemaker and realize that living your life for Jesus, making him look good, being single-minded, being merciful, all these things is a better way to live. It's a more satisfying life. Doesn't mean that it will be without pain. We'll see that next week. It won't be totally without conflict. We'll see that next week. But you'll begin to see people around you be transformed by Jesus. You'll begin to see your own life be transformed by Jesus, where you have peace with God. And you begin to have peace with others you haven't had peace with for a long, long time. And if that sounds good to you, and you don't think you've had that, ask God to show you where you've been full of self. Repent this morning. Empty yourself. Mourn over your sin. Thirst to be filled by God. And remember the cross. He's done all of this for you so that you could be full of his Spirit. And that you would stand out from everyone else out in the world. What life are you living? Does anybody even know that you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? It starts from the inside and it begins to work its way out. That's the way Christianity works. It's not the other way around. It always starts with the inside and works its way out. This morning, during our time of invitation, I want you to examine yourself to ask, am I merciful to people around me? Do I pity them? Do I let things go? Or am I one of these people that holds a grudge? We all know those people in church who maybe have been in church for years, and they're a parent's age, or grandparents' age, our age, and they've never been right with another family in the church. And that is a horrible testimony. That is spitting on the cross. It is. Amen. Because what you do testifies to what Christ has done for you. And to not let something go is to say, you know what? I really don't cherish what Christ has done for me. Because we're still full of self rather than full of the Spirit. Are you single-minded? Are you divided in what you're living for, what you're about, what you're striving for in life? Or are you single-minded in purpose and say, I want to be about Jesus? And finally, are you a peacemaker? Are you somebody who seeks to see people make things right with their Father in heaven? And see people make things right with each other? Or do you just another cog in the wheel that creates and helps perpetuate more conflict? Because if you are, it's because you're full of self rather than being full of God's Spirit. During our time of invitation, you respond as the Lord leads you. You can pray where you're at. You can come down front and talk with me. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, We've got those little tear outs in the bulletin. You can tear out, you can write down that you want to meet with me or that you would like to talk with somebody. Put a contact information on there and just give it to me at the end of the service, and we'll try to make contact with you this week. You can pray down here at our prayer altar, but I would ask this morning you would really spend time self-examining so that you can empty yourself and be filled with Jesus. So if you would stand, I'm going to pray over you, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your word, for the joy, for the satisfaction that we have in you, that is free from drama, disappointment, because you don't disappoint. You are always enough. It's always a question of, are we trying to fill our lives with you or something else? And I ask this morning, if there is something else, that you would convict us over it so we can empty ourselves and be filled by you. I pray this morning, if there is a relationships that need to be restored, if there are sins that need to be forgiven between folks in this building, that it will be resolved this morning so that we can live lives that make you look good, and so that our testimony as a body will make you look good to this lost and dying community, so that they know that we're different. They know there's something different about us, so that our message of the cross that we have to share with them, our message about Jesus, will have a hearing, because they see that there's power behind our words. I ask all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.